This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Since the mandatory quarantine due to COVID-19, many experts predict some relationships will end, and even some marriages will end in divorce. So why would being quarantined end a relationship? Associate professor at INSED and author of Couples That Work, Jennifer Petrolieri, explains why these relationships are in turmoil. Thanks for joining me, Jennifer.
It's great to be with you.
So when it comes to these relationships, you would think you would know a person. And even celebrities are having this problem right now. Jada Pinkett Smith is having said that she doesn't even know her own husband, Will Smith. Is that common?
I think it is common because the reality is in normal times, we lead very busy lives. We spend 8, 9, 10 hours out of the house a day at work. We go on errands. If we have children, we're running them around the taxi service. And in those conditions, it's really easy to sweep things under the carpet. But now we're together 24/7 and there's nowhere to run and there's nowhere to hide. And all those things come out, right? The little inequalities, the resentments, the power struggles. They're all much more visible than they were in the past.
Now, for some people, this could be a good thing where you can really start forming a new type of relationship with your partner. And for others, it can be bad, but I really can't see the bad part. Could you explain what are some bad things people may be going through?
Yeah, I think the bad thing happens when we don't tackle it. So all of these dynamics are not new. We can just see them more clearly. And the bad things happen when we just feel resentful and start arguing rather than getting down to, okay, this isn't working, how are we going to fix it? So a classic one is sharing, you know, the housework load. I'm sure there are many people out there feeling like, oh, this is really becoming clear that I am doing a lot more than my partner. Now, the question is, what do you do with that? Do you sit down and have a conversation about it? Or do you start the little sniping and the arguments? And it's that junction there where we decide what do we do that creates the problems.
Now, I know this is my own personal problem. When I get upset, I want to have the last word, even if it's just like a noise, like, I'm going to get the last sound in. Oh, what could you do in that situation where you really can't even go away to cool off?
Yeah, it's really important at that point that we go back to first principles. And instead of talking about who took the trash out today, really coming back to, okay, what are we worried about? What are our priorities? And what does that say about our relationship and how we support each other? If we focus on the day-to-day, what happened today, it's really hard to get out of our little defensive positions.
Now, I know my sister personally is going through a little bit of a thing with her husband. And for her, she kind of feels like she's been doing, accepting the bare minimum from him, if that makes sense, that it's okay that he went to work for as long as he did, but now that he's home constantly, he's just not doing anything. And she really doesn't know how to talk to him about it. What can you do there?
I think that's a very common experience. And most often it's women in that position, but not always. It's sometimes guys. It's really important we raise it. And I think one of the things that this period is doing is it's raising that kind of veil of ignorance, right, among the people who maybe work more usually. And they can see us working a lot, making all the meals, whatever it is. But it's really important we raise this. And one very easy way to do it is simply to sit down with your partner and list all the things that need to get done in a week in your house and look at that division of labor very rationally and look at that split and, like, does that look a fair split to you? Is a really good way to approach that conversation from a very kind of practical standpoint.
You're saying this almost as if we're both adults, we're both of sound mind, we're going to agree to disagree, and we're going to agree to some of this. But what if your partner isn't agreeable? Like, what if you think, like, I can't live with this guy or this woman, like, I can't do this anymore? What do you do then?
Yeah, so I do think, I mean, let's be honest, we know from past periods of forced confinement, right, whether it's earthquakes or hurricanes or whatever, that couples do diverge and some do split up. And I think we need to be realistic that not every single couple will make it through this period. Now, hopefully more can if they take the time to sit down and talk, but there will be some where the writing is on the wall. And I think then it's about, like, how do you exit in a very graceful way? But I think it's unrealistic to think every single relationship can be salvaged.
How can you tell if your relationship is at that point where it's strained or you guys are going to overcome it?
I think the question is, are you investing in trying? I think if you're investing in trying to get past it, it's a good sign. I think the worrying thing is when one or both of you are at that stage where I just can't face making that investment, I can't face having those conversations, that's a really, really worrying sign. I know some people will sometimes say to me, but you know, Jennifer, if I have to work on my relationship, it means there's an issue with it. And I think, no, if you're not prepared to work on your relationship, that's when the issue comes. So I think it's about, are we willing to give this a shot and have those conversations? And if you are, you will probably pull through with some effort.
That makes sense. I mean, if you're both wanting to work at it and you both want to succeed, obviously there's going to be more effort versus if it's just one person who wants it and the other person's like, I'll do whatever.
Exactly. And I also think it's about managing expectations. Look, this is a really stressful time. And if you're aiming perfection, you're going to be disappointed. I think the most any of us can hope for, even if we have a great relationship with our partner, is good enough right now. You know, it's terribly anxiety provoking. You know, we've got job insecurity. Those people have kids. There's homeschooling. There's a lot on our plate. No one is going to have the kind of Disney perfect relationship right now. But if we lower those expectations a bit and put some work in, most of us will be able to do a decent job of it.
Now, what are some stress-free ways that you can relax with your partner outside? You're right, my sister and her husband, they have two kids and both of them are taking turns homeschooling them. And it's kind of hard to find those relaxing moments without your kids when you're stuck with your kids.
Yeah, it is. But it's really important we try, because what often the first thing to go is the me time. And the second thing to go is the couple time. And I think me time is really important so we can give ourselves fully to that couple time. So first, it's not just giving each other a time to work, but also just 20 minutes, half an hour of me time a day, whether it's to take a walk around the block, you know, sit and read a magazine, whatever it is really important so we have that energy to work on our couple. And then, you know, once the kids are in bed, in those quiet moments, maybe they're watching a video or doing a little bit of screen time, instead of frantically catching up on emails, thinking, okay, let's just sit down for 10, 15 minutes, cup of tea, glass of wine, glass of beer, whatever, and just a chat, like, how's your day? How are you feeling? How are things going? Those small pockets of undivided attention work wonders. You don't need 3 hours, although that would be lovely. You just need 10, 15 minutes where you feel your partner is all yours. And that can make the world of difference.
Now, do you think that because of all this quarantining and, you know, isolation, that we're going to end up changing the way we form our relationships?
I think to a certain extent, yes. And in many ways, we're actually going backwards in time. So my husband is from Sicily. And in Sicily, people live, they're farmers, and they live like most of us did 100 years ago, which is our work and our family and our lives are very intertwined. And I think at this time, we're really going back to that. We know all about our partner's work, our family's there too, we're homeschooling. So in a way, we're sort of going back to the past where there's a much more intermingling of all the aspects of our lives. I think recently we've had this huge separation between work and home life. And I think, honestly, it's gone a little bit far. You know, there are plenty of couples who say, yeah, we don't even discuss work. I'm not sure how healthy that really is. And hopefully this period will take us a little bit backwards in time to the time where we were a bit more integrated between our family and our relationships and work. And I think that's probably a good thing.
You know, it's funny when you said that some couples don't discuss work. I read an article, and I can't find it right now, where couples didn't even know what each other did for work before the COVID pandemic. And I was like, wait, what? How do you not know what someone does for a living?
And I think it's strange, isn't it? Because for many people right now, work is an important part of who we are, right? It gives us a social network. It gives us some meaning in life. It's important to us. And the thought that our partner doesn't know anything about that piece of our lives is quite strange.
It is. I was thinking to myself, I would want to know if my partner was a police officer, or if my partner was a doctor, or if my partner worked at McDonald's, just to know. I think that's kind of weird not to want to be that intimate with a person.
I know, and I think in most of the rest of life, you know, it would be strange if our partner didn't know about our faith, didn't know about our friends, didn't know about our family. You know, for many people, it's not strange at all. They don't know about our work. As a society, we've gone a little bit too far in that strict separation of work and life.
Yeah, I can see that. A lot of people are like that. I don't want my work life to be in my home, and I don't want my home life to be at work. I've heard a lot of people say that.
But in reality, you don't have a choice. And we know this from the research. You know, if we're stressed in one domain, we carry it across to the other. So if you're stressed at work, your family are going to know about it, whether you talk about it or not. But equally, we see those effects in positive ways. We see when people have a good experience at work or a good experience in the family, that spills over into the opposite domain. So people may think, I don't want this to mix, but it does whether they want it to or not.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
So I've recently written a book on working couples called Couples at Work. And also they can look on my website, which is jpetrolieri.com. And maybe you can type that out because it's difficult to spell in your show notes.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.